Welcome to the Grace Point Church podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina. In this episode, you will hear audio from Sunday morning, July 7th, 2019, where the mission team gives an update on their recent mission trip to Morelia, Mexico. First, start with a short overview from Pastor Ben, and then we'll move to James Hicks, Sadie Juarez, Amber Henry, Marie Hicks, Debbie Hill, Brittany Williams, and then Pastor Ben. Stay tuned to the very end of this podcast, where you will hear a special song performed by the mission team. It is a song entitled Eres Todo Poderoso, and it's a song that they learned in Mexico. Also on Sunday morning, there was a video recap of the Morelia mission trip. You can find this on our social media pages, as well as on YouTube. Now let's listen in.
All right, praise the Lord. Over 60 people came to faith in Christ, or expressed the faith in Christ. That was through the outdoor gospel presentations, through the sharing door-to-door, and then also during the evening worship services. So it was an incredible time. And obviously, if heaven was rejoicing when even one soul came to repentance, I think heaven was having a party. And it was exciting to get to be a part of that. So without further ado, I'd like to have some folks that went on the trip to share with you just a brief thing about what was special to them or stood out to them. And I'm taking volunteers. Who wants to go first? And if not, I will volunteer militarily. All right. There we go.
Okay. Well, we did have a lot of fun on this trip. One of my highlights was obviously Wednesday night, or actually a Sunday after church, Elder, who you saw translating for Ben on one of the clips, came up and said, "We want y'all to play with us." So I was like, "But this is cool." So we played on Wednesday night in their praise band and did three or four songs. So that was really fun. There were some funny things that happened. So I got another video for you that... that I just had to show. It's not very long, but, you know. One of them.
Padre, bendice la comunicación de estas palabras.
May it be in truth and power. For your glory,
por tu gloria,
and your kingdom's sake,
y tu reino.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, now that I've gotten that out of the way, you guys had your eyes closed while we were praying.
Nosotros, tú cierras tus ojos y te pones a...
And during that moment,
y en ese momento,
I poured the bottle of water that he argued about all over the floor. You know, they say when you're in seminary and school learning to be a pastor, that it's a good thing to start a sermon with humor. So there you go.
There were only three people. There were only three people that saw that happen live. Him, Elder the translator, and me, because I was setting up the camera. And I saw it and was like... So that was something that happened. It was really, really funny. Yeah. So, but we had a great time, and this was my first mission trip, as I said on the video, and it obviously went a lot better than most mission trips. I mean, from what I understand, we were kind of staying in really nice accommodations for a mission trip, which I mean, our apartment, you didn't see pictures of our apartment, but it was nice by our standards here. I mean, it was very modern and very comfortable. But it was a good time. And when you go to leave, you want to bring all of them back with you because they're really great people. And they do anything for you. I mean, they are so observant because if they think you need something, they go and get it. Amber was having trouble with some of the food, and there was like a moment, next thing you know, they were like, well, do you want me to ask them to make a cheese quesadilla for you? And like seconds later, they walk over with a cheese quesadilla. We didn't even tell them. So, I know the Beto, who you saw playing the guitar, that was the guitar I bought in Mexico, and we had just tuned it up, and he just started playing. So I really liked that. But he, even one day, he's like, James, Diet Coke? And I was like, yeah, because they usually had some laying around. Well, a few minutes later, you know, because I said yes, and it was a few minutes, and I didn't think nothing of it. His daughter comes back from the store with Diet Cokes. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize you went to the store for me. I would have said no if that was the case, but, you know. But it was a really fun trip. There, we could tell stories and stories and stories. I'll tell you one thing I in the video that I wanted to do is a lot of the singing that you heard, that was the last song, that was Reckless Love in Spanish. That was from, I believe, the Sunday morning service. I recorded from where we were sitting, so you get part of our group singing in English along with their group singing in Spanish, which was really cool. And then some of the other Spanish songs there, so to give you a little taste of kind of what their church services are like. But I won't keep going because we could be here all day.
All right. Thank you, James. I think I'll say thank you, even though with the video. But who's next? Amber, I think you got called on. I heard your name. Sadie's coming. All right.
We had a great time. I don't want to. Okay. we had a great time. The thing that I had the most like heartfelt thing about it was when we were going door to door and we were inviting people to come to church and to the services each night, the kids were so excited, and like it made me want to cry. Because the kids were just so happy and so excited about the Lord and about the gospel. You had kids who were this tall going up to doors, knocking on doors, saying, Information! Information! And, like, wanting to invite people to come to church. And I thought that was just a joy that, like, we all need to have that excitement when we're talking to people. And, like, it's sad that here in, you know, we don't think about us going around and being like going into a neighborhood and inviting people to church, like, because that's just not our culture. But I think, why not? It was so incredible. And then just to hear some other people's testimonies, and then I got to share my own testimony. And the most memorable one to me was on the very first day we actually got invited in to a lady's home, and it was a gorgeous home. And she sat us down, and we started talking, and there were translators, and so I started sharing my testimony. And then after I shared my testimony, she, you know, we started asking her questions, like, okay, you know, do you have any questions for us? Can we pray for you? You know, what can we do for you? Will you come to church? You know, yada, yada, yada. And she said, well, actually, I have one of my sons. She had, like, three kids, and one of her sons had, like, very severe autism, I think is what she was trying to say, or he had some sort of like brain deformity or something like that. And then as soon as she started saying that, we could hear him upstairs crying. So she asked if we would go upstairs and pray over him. So we went upstairs and prayed over this little boy. And as soon as we got up there, she started apologizing right away because her son had like wet the bed. And so she had to like change him really quick. And I mean, he had to be at least 10, but I mean, he couldn't function on his own, and so she just asked us just to pray over him. And while we were praying, and we were, you know, all had our hands on him and hugging him and hugging the mom, and everyone was crying. I was crying. Translators were crying. I mean, it was powerful, and the little boy was crying. And then just, I think that just gave her a sense of hope, and then a sense that God has not left her, that we were there, and that was the very first home that we stopped at that day. And there was a reason for that. And she even told me, she said, I was about to take a nap before you knocked on the door, and I was about not to answer, but you knocked again. So I decided to come to the door, and I'm so glad that I did, because you have renewed my faith. You have brought hope back to me. So that was the most memorable thing to me, I think. And on the very first day, that was so powerful, so godly. And then just, like I said, the kids, they were just so excited. And I think we just all need to have that joy of Jesus in our hearts, just like they did, and be confident enough in our truth, in the gospel, in our love of Jesus, that we go and share it just as they did. I mean, they were ruthless, man. They were ruthless, especially Heidi. I mean, she didn't want to stop talking to you. It was great. Amber.
I don't even know how to follow that. That was like making everyone cry. Okay, so I do have a message from Juan Ramon, if I get it. Okay, so he wanted me to tell the church, you guys, this. He didn't want Pastor Ben telling you guys. He wanted me to tell you guys. He said, thank you for sending such a great team to Berea. I don't know why I keep pronouncing that. Berea. It's very hard to plant and grow a church. Oh, shoot. I just closed it. Crap. Oh, God. Okay. It's very hard to plant and grow a church. It was much appreciated, and we all had a great time. Keep praying for the church so God will help them grow even more. I think that I would do the trip again. I know that the first few days I wanted to go home, because especially it was my first day, like first time out of the country, first time far away from home. And, you know, I've always complained about how we don't go out of our comfort zone, and yet when I'm put up to the test, it took a while for me to adjust it, especially with the food. I would do it again, because the people is the one that impacted me the most, because they showed so much caring, and I don't have that here, especially people my age. So like them showing careness and loveness for each other. And then, like, the youth there was just awesome. I would definitely say I would go back, and I would do it all over again. Even though days before, I was trying to make up a plan on how I can bail. I was about to come up with, like, a sickness, have a doctor's note or something. But I didn't, because it was really fun. There was, like, the culture was just amazing. It was really shocking. There was beautiful sights. There was people out in the street doing tricks for money. And, you know, I might do that for Haywood Mall or something, you know. There was this guy on this big tire, and he was, like, juggling rocks. It was insane. And I was like, oh, my gosh, they do it? And Mandy was like, yeah, do they not do that at home? And I'm like, no. No. And it was just fun just telling them about how we do things. And they're like, whoa, you do that? And they're like, yeah, you don't do that? No. So it's just really cool, like, trading stories about what happens here and what happens there. And my also other favorite part was all the dogs. All the dogs I loved. And Debbie said I couldn't pet them. So that was a temptation. So, you know, God got me through that week for not petting all the dogs. But they were so cute. I loved all of them. Yeah, I wanted to bring a pack to the airport, but Mandy was like, no. And I said, okay. But definitely, I love the people the most. That was my favorite part of Morelia. Yeah, that's all I got.
Glad you didn't fail.
So the story that I'm going to share is actually from our last day that we went out. I went out with Mandy was my translator, and it was, I think, it was one of the first few houses that we stopped at, and this woman named Adriana answered the door, and it was another one of those things, like she said, she usually never answers her door. The only reason she answered her door is her doorbell was broken and the dog was barking, so she was actually going downstairs to see what was going on with the dog, because she said a lot of people have been knocking on her door, Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff like that. And she's just like, and they get into arguments with me and try to convert me. And she's like, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 15 years. And she actually spoke to me in English, which was good. she had lived in California for a while, and she moved to Morelia 3 years ago. And she said she has been searching for a church for 3 years. And she's like, I've tried churches, and she's like, she said they get really fixated basically on like theology is what she was trying to communicate. There's a big Catholic presence in Mexico, and so she experienced those churches that were trying so hard to not be Catholic that they kind of got wrapped up in that instead of actually being like a church. And she was so like, she's just like, I want to learn. I want to know like how to, you know, better know God. She's like, I want to be with other believers. And literally where her house sits and where this new church that we were helping is starting is like, I mean, you can like see it from her house. And I don't know what the time frame was is when they actually finished. It's a building, but it's a space. So that's still in the process. So she had no idea, but it was just, in that moment, it was really cool because also Mandy, who was my translator, who I got to know more, I guess, the latter part of the week, and Mandy had experienced just like I've experienced myself. I think a lot of people in this room have experienced that too. You've gone to churches that have let you down, you know, that have hurt you in ways that a church never should. And Mandy had experienced that, and this woman, Adriana, had experienced that, and I've experienced that. It's just really hurtful, because sometimes it makes you just want to give up on church altogether. But what we found in Berea is that the spirit there seems very similar to here at Grace Point, and that's what we shared with this woman, Adriana. And she came that night to the last service, to the last message that Ben preached, and she talked to Ben afterwards, I know, and we had her meet everybody, and she just said, she's told Ben, I think her words were, that message was for me, were the words that she used, and that was just so incredible. She sat with me and Mandy, you know, and we were able to sit with her and worship with her, and she just really make that connection. And Berea has a discipleship program that they were telling her about, so she's excited to get in that. So that was really my most cool experience. I mean, I also led people to Christ for the first time. Never done that before, so that was really awesome. But that just really stood out because just sharing my story with her and kind of finding this woman exactly where she was at and letting her know, like, literally, you know, a stone's throw from your door, a church is starting that you can be a part of, that you can grow closer to God. And this, what we experienced for just a week's time, the family of Berea, that church was our family, that she will get to experience that as well.
Who is that person in the back? Kick them out, kick them out. Okay, so I do have laryngitis, but you know me, even with laryngitis, I can't be quiet. And what does amen mean, honey? So be it. It like James said, it's so hard to try to dwindle down to one thing to share. Number one, I want to thank you because it has been not already. It is because of your faithfulness that we were able to go. You have been giving for a year, making meals on Wednesdays, putting money in the plate on Wednesdays, every function that we've done. You've supported us, and you went with us. You might not have been there, but you were there. The last day when we were giving out gifts, you can't explain how close you can get to somebody in 6 days, can you, Amber? Or in three? You can't. It's just you can't. You have to go experience it. So one of the things that I put in some of the books that we gave away are things over the years that I have prayed for a lot of people, and you are those people as well. So I wanted to share it if I can get to it through my tears. In Philippians, I have written this in many cards. I've written this on many days when I'm praying. And I could go through this room and tell you times that I've specifically prayed it for you. But in Philippians it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. Grace is the point. So I will continue to pray that prayer for those people back there until I can go back and from then forward. My conviction, you know, you go thinking that, you know, like we said, you're these great Americans and you're going to go help people. And you do. We open doors that they couldn't open without our faces. However, there's no way that I could have deposited in a week what they deposited in me. As Amber said, the joy. I've had the joy of going to Mexico multiple times too. And that's really what I wanted to share, is that I have watched my husband being taught by his mentor, the disciples, principles, discipleship. And I've watched Ben impart that in Juan Ramon. And since the first trip, we've seen Juan Ramon continue to deposit it among a small group of people there who have deposited it into a small group of people who have deposited it into a small group of people. And 13 years later, 14 years later, you have the mother church that's been able to start 12. And they still have the joy they did the first time I saw my husband share the gospel. And the first time I saw us present the layers of discipleship that we were taught. So I am convicted that even though I know we share it, and I share it, I don't share it enough. And my prayer is that that's why we started Grace Point, and that we don't lose our enthusiasm. It gets hard. We have such a busy life here, Sadie. That's why I think sometimes we don't go witnessing. We're so busy here. We carved out a week for nothing but. But here, you know, I got to clean my house. I've got to wash my clothes. I got to take the kids here. I've worked all week I'm tired. You know, those are all of our excuses. We've done door-to-door here, Sadie. But normally when we did door-to-door, we had about three youth with us, and that was it. So I'm just praying that this is going to help my enthusiasm and that it will be contagious, that we will all see that God redeemed us. You know, like Marie said, I mean, we all have a past, and God, he's pulled us from that, and he's given us a special place here, I mean, a very special place. So my prayer is that we'll just continue to serve God, and I am thankful for you all and thankful to God for saving me on my 30th birthday and changing my heart forever. I love you. Take that, Ben. Yeah.
I didn't even say anything. I'm getting yelled at. Do I even need a microphone? Yeah. Okay, fine. If I'll hold the microphone. Excuse me. I've had a cough since we've gotten back. I think it's just I was there and the air's so much thinner. It's up in the mountains. And finally, I was like, I didn't feel like I was that much higher. I finally looked it up, and here we're like 800 feet above sea level. And there they're like 6,000, almost 7,000 feet above sea level. And I was like, okay, yeah, it is a bit of a difference. Because we would walk, and first of all, I'm out of breath because I'm just me and I'm not in shape. But then I was like, this feels so strange. I can't get a good breath. And then finally, when I looked it up, I was like, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense now. But we had so much fun. And y'all, even just now I'm going, how to condense the week into a little tidbit I can share with you guys that has any cohesiveness or doesn't ramble on for 30 minutes, because I could. Really easily. But I think, for those of you who don't know, I think everybody, most of you know me well enough probably to know this, but for those of you who don't know, my major in college was Spanish. I majored in Spanish and was a Spanish teacher for a little while. But for the past 4 years, I've been staying home as a stay-at-home mom. And nobody in my family speaks Spanish. I don't really know a lot of people that speak Spanish, unfortunately, and it's not something that I get to use frequently at all. And so it's usually like when I go to a Mexican restaurant, I'll order in Spanish and try to practice. Or, you know, I mean, that's about it. It's sad, but it's not getting used. And it's really, in the past several years, I've really felt like my confidence has taken a total hit. And I feel like I have no grasp on the language. And it's basically that four-year degree is a waste. Because, I mean, what am I going to do with it? I don't use it. And when you don't use language, you lose it. You don't use it, you lose it. That's what they say. And this past week, honestly, just on a bit of a selfish note, it was so exciting and fun to have the chance to speak to people in Spanish. And I even did a little bit of translating, interpreting on my own, and did okay. I got the points across and held my own. It definitely wasn't perfect. I made lots and lots of mistakes. There were lots of little nitpicky vocabulary words I was forgetting. But the people there were just so sweet and so complimentary and would say, oh, your Spanish is good. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And by the end of the week, I was like, oh, my goodness, if I could have three more weeks. I just need three more weeks, and I'll be good to go. I didn't want to leave. But it was really, yeah. I never want to leave. I always want to stay. I'm like, yes, I can move here, bring my babies and my husband, and we'll just move right here in Morelia. I love it, and we'll be fine. But really, by the end of the week, I was like, I was just saying, thank you, God. Thank you for this chance to just, I mean, that's just a little gift he gave me. I feel like just on a really selfish personal level, God gave me that little gift of getting to renew my passion for it. Because I do have a passion for the language. And B, help boost my confidence a little bit and say, you know, it's not perfect. You're not a native speaker. You're definitely not what would be considered fluent. But you ain't too bad. You can hold your own. And that was really cool. And I just had so much fun with it and felt so much better by the time we left. But, you know, part of the reason why I ended up majoring in Spanish is because from the age of 6, I started traveling overseas almost annually with my dad in mission trips. And the majority of my mission trips were to Spanish-speaking countries. And also in this time of my life, we lived in Texas when we started. So I had a lot of exposure to Hispanic culture and to the Spanish language. I didn't learn it till I was in college, but I at least heard it. And I had exposure to that culture with traveling to Venezuela, to Mexico, to El Salvador, and just getting to see it on a real level, you know. And it had such a profound impact in my life. I fell so in love with that culture that really one of the best ways I could find to honor that was through my interest in language. And I turned it into learning Spanish in college. And it really meant a lot to me. But again, I've really lost contact with that love. And I often fear, I don't even really know how to express what I'm thinking right now, feeling. I often fear that we don't view diverse cultures in a way that's as accepting as we think we do. We often will view individuals and say that we are accepting, but maybe there's just a little something that's holding us back. And typically that's fear. Typically that's just not understanding or seeing something in a way. We view things through our own lenses because those are the lenses we have. We are given those lenses at birth and we develop them through our lives. And that's normal and that's what everyone does. But I love so much the idea of just diverse worship, diverse and multicultural worship. And it's just a beautiful thought to me. And it's something that I've always wanted. That's something that I've always almost envied when I see it elsewhere. It's something that just seems so beautiful to me. And it's very possible in a place like Greenville, whether we think it or not. I mean, there are people living here from innumerable countries throughout the world and different languages. And just it's a beautiful mesh of individuals. And I know in the depths of my heart that the people of Grace Point are open to everyone. I know this. But I know sometimes it can be a little bit scary to reach out when there might be a door there, like a language barrier that maybe we can't broach very easily. But I don't want to precipitate some sort of idea that it's incredibly dangerous where we went and that everything is scary and all, because it wasn't. We felt very safe while we were there in the city. Everything was safe. There was nothing that felt, I don't know a word besides unsafe. Perilous, there you go. There's nothing that felt like we shouldn't be there, but there was one day we went out in the community around the mission church, and we were riding in they called it the Berea Mobile, so it was like the Berea Mobile. It was their church van. I was like, this is the cutest thing ever. But it was their church van, very nice, and we were riding in there over to this particular place, and one of the pastor's children were in the bus with us, and one, I think he was, they were 9 and 11, somewhere around this age, and they didn't speak English, so they were chatting in Spanish. And I'm trying to listen and get as much as I can. And I hear one of them say, oh, yes, we know this park. And it was like a little jungle gym park area. He said, oh, yeah, in a football field, soccer field. And he said, oh, yeah, we know this park. We used to come here, but now there's too many bad guys with drugs, so we don't come anymore. And I was like, cool, so let's get out of the bus. And we just said, okay, let's get out. And we all piled out into this area and then went knocking door to door. But honestly, that was probably the most impoverished area we visited the whole week. Was right there very close to this little park area. And we went, those were the only doors I knocked on that were true like shanty homes, like built with just pieces of wood, pieces of metal, things of that nature. One couple invited us in and she said, I'm so sorry, I don't have anywhere for you to sit down. It's because her living room was devoid of furniture. It was definitely perhaps maybe what people would put in their minds and expect when they go on a mission trip overseas, because oftentimes we have that preconceived notion of what we're going to be walking into. But it wasn't what we saw most of the week. But that week was definitely the poorest community we went to. But we invited folks to this little kids thing. They had folks dressed up as superheroes. So they're like, you know, asking kids, you like Batman? And they're like, oh, yeah. And they came, and we ended up having, I don't know what the total count was, but we had a very crowded playground, a very full slide, and lots of chairs filled, and lots of people sitting back behind, not quite in, but quite a little bit behind. And they set up, being the people from the church, they set up a tent with a microphone, and they did a little skit for the children, sang some songs, and then Dad got up to speak, to share the gospel, and that was translated through Amanda. And that was just a really cool night because a lot of folks ended up accepting Christ in that evening. And that was a night that was really moving to a sense because it was so different maybe than what we live in from day to day. But I think it kind of just sparked inside of me this reminder that culture is important, yet culture means nothing. When it comes to the word of Christ, there may be language barriers or there may be cultural barriers, and those are important. I'm very, very much a person who is invested in these sorts of things and finds interest in these things and certainly wants to honor those. But I think we come to a point where we're afraid because they exist, and instead of being excited about the existence of these things, realizing that that's a way to share, like who was it, Amber? One of you were talking about, Amber, talking about how we got to share how, well, this is how we do it back home. Oftentimes, that's a really fun way to even just create a connection with somebody. Instead of that being a way to keep you from talking, that could be a way to encourage a relationship. And then that's something that's really exciting. But I had so much fun. This was my 10th trip, I think, out of the country that wasn't vacation or honeymoon or something. And it was my 5th time to Moralia. So a pretty big chunk of that's been to Moralia. I can't really put into words how much that city means to me and how much I love it. It's been 12 years since I had gone, so it's been a long time. But it was really fun to get to go. This was my first time going since having studied Spanish, which was fun with Juan Ramon because he said, oh, you came to my house and now you speak Spanish. Because last time I went, I did not. But this team did such an exceptional job, you guys. I'm just going to brag on. Can I just brag on people for a second? You guys did so great. To have so many people green in traveling go on this trip, that's a scary thing to do, to take that really big leap out of your comfort zone into a place that might feel different. That's a big thing to do, and y'all did a really great job. I feel, you know, I tend to be kind of comfortable in it since I've done it multiple times, but you guys did so great, and you as a church, I know we're praying behind us, and that was evident, and we thank you so much for that. Not only your financial support, but your prayer support and your love. Just the fact that you were willing to come up behind us and hug us and send us off and say you love us and you're going to think of us and pray for us as we went, that means more than you'll ever know. Even if you weren't able to come along with us, like Mom said, you were there. And that was a really big part of our trip. But I'll close it up. I know I'm just rambling now. But for me, the thing that was just so special is just having that reminder of how beautiful it can be to immerse yourself in a culture different than your own and not be afraid to welcome that and not be afraid to learn about that. And I think the more that we're willing to sort of spread our metaphorical wings and our branches and learn and be accepting of, I think the more that we're going to be able to plant ourselves strongly in the community, because it begins at home, like I said earlier, and you can't spread unless you're willing to talk and listen. It was a beautiful place. It was a beautiful trip. I can't wait to go back, and I hope some of you who weren't maybe able to go this year might consider going next time.
Amen. The
let me just put a ribbon on it, and I know you guys are ready to go have your lunch. And tacos at your house? On the 14th, I wanted to share that. On the 14th at Raph's birthday party at Heritage Park, Simpsonville City Park, on the 14th, and you're going to have a taquiza? Taquiza. All right. Mexican, real Mexican tacos. Yay. Woohoo! After church. That's awesome. That is great. So good. So, with that said, let me just wrap it up. The thing that that stood out to me was obviously the team and the cohesiveness of the team, having led a whole bunch of mission trips. A lot of time there's a lot of tension and things like that among team members. Grace Point went with us, and our sense of grace is all that matters. The cohesiveness, non-judgmentalism, all that stuff, brotherhood, family, that went with us on the trip. And we stayed in real close proximity because we're all paled in one apartment and then one other apartment. And there were no argument. There was no, I mean, it was really, really a neat deal. And so thank you guys for that. We know you were praying for us. And then just to see the people come to faith in Christ. It is a passion and a burden to see people say yes to Jesus. And we saw that over and over and over again. And because of that, we believe that God sent us. And then to renew the acquaintance with Juan Ramon and the church at Berea, just kind of give you what I was sharing at the camp. Four men, a little over 15 years ago, had a vision to make disciples in a church setting. And as Debbie shared with you, over 20 years ago, Juan and I met, and I had the privilege of taking him through biblical reproductive disciple making and that curriculum and sharing with him. So from a distance, we've been discipling, and now it's reversed, and I learned so much more from him than he ever learned from me. But that vision, taking that vision, and they started what became the Berea Church with the help of Lockhart First Baptist Church, where we pastored. And we took a team over there and did the same thing we did this week and started a mission work of First Baptist Church Moralia. And that became Iglesia Cristiana Bautista de Berea. And that has expanded. And I misspoke in the video. Brittany was right, or Debbie was right. 12 churches in the last 15 years have been started by that church that's only 15 years old. And this week we worked in an area to start this mission. And Juan made the commitment while we were there on behalf of the leadership of Berea Church that Vida Nueva, New Life Church, would become a full, they were making the commitment to see that it became a full self-supporting congregation of worship there. So that would be their 13th mission church planted. What a joy and what a blessing. And we at Grace Point in heaven's economy are a part of that. So praise the Lord for that. They invited us obviously back next year. We will pray diligently about going. But then 2 years from now, we will not be planning a trip to Moralia because we will be planning to welcome a team from Moralia, Berea Church, to come here to do a campaign in a similar fashion and share the gospel in our community and help to strengthen Grace Point, who they view as now a sister church to Berea. And so what an awesome, awesome thing that is. And then finally, in closing, you guys gave, and you gave sacrificially. You gave with joy, and it is so incredible. God moved and blessed in such a way that we were able to adjust and make things to really squeeze the budget because of some of the housing things that we did instead of hotels and things like that. We were able to do such a – God just broke bread, okay? And it was expanded. We were able to leave behind a cash offering from your gifts for the trip that was a little over $1,000, and we left it for a specific purpose. Remember the camp that you saw that they were building, and their camp is in July 17th? So they're still working. They're working through around the clock now to get it ready. You have now sponsored over 200 youth to come to that camp to be immersed in the gospel, immersed in the Word of God, and they will worship together. And every church are inviting people, and their youth have been challenged to each one bring one who is lost. So there will be a significant number of young people that don't know Jesus that'll be loving the opportunity to come and to hear about Christ in a camp setting. And you, God through you, have provided the financial means for that to happen. So praise the Lord for that. I cannot say to give God a hand. I mean, it's an incredible deal. Thank you so much for what you've done. Lastly, thank you for your attentiveness and your patience. These things always run over. It's just the way it works, and I'm sorry. No, it is how it works. But know this, we are forever grateful, and to God be the glory. And anybody would be more than happy to share more with you if you're interested on an individual basis. And then we will let you know about the continuing partnership and work that's going on, because we'll be having a dialogue back and forth. Okay? And give you more information. Pardon? Don't forget to take bread and get school supplies. Now stand up. Lift your hands toward heaven and say, praise the Lord. You bunch of charismatics, you, I love it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We rejoice in you, and we praise you for who you are and what you have done. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for our influence because of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that our passion will be matched, that we have across the borders, that our passion will be matched with our passion across the street. I pray for our Vacation Bible School, God. Oh, God in heaven, bring children, young people, to come and hear the truth of Christ. May lives be changed, souls saved, families brought to faith because of the work that's being done. We love you and we praise you. And we thank you for all things in Jesus.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Snapchat. To listen to sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, you can go to our YouTube page or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening. If you've stayed with us this far, you're in for a special treat. On Sunday morning, the mission team members, who are also part of the praise team at Grace Point, performed a special Spanish song that was played in Morelia, Mexico, a song that they learned there,
and even played with the church there at Berea's praise team. The song is entitled Eres Todo Poderoso. And you have on vocals, you have Brittany Williams, Amber Henry, Murray Hicks, Sadie Juarez. On guitar, James Hicks. And a special thanks to Scott Sawyer, who provided drums for this song. Let's listen in. Thanks for listening. Los esperamos.